Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. We've been going through the book of Hosea, and in that process, we have taken a break from Hosea several times for various things, but we're back in it tonight. Beginning in verse number 1, we'll read all the way through verse number 6. Follow along as I read. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me." Listen to what Israel is going to say here. "My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency?" Let me read that question again. "How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces." The title tonight is Finalize the Delete. Finalize the delete. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. We need you. So we pray for your help, your guidance along the way as we deliver the message, that you would work in hearts. It's all about you. It's because of you. And we're just grateful that we have your word and that you speak to us and that you're faithful. Help us to stand fast. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Finalize the delete is because we, maybe most of us can relate to this, we accidentally deleted something. Have you ever done that? I mean, that is, it just depends on what you deleted. It just, that it all is going to be based on what you deleted and how important that was, if you accidentally did it. Aren't you glad for fail-safe, though? When they, enough people did this that they created this fail-safe that when you push delete, an icon pops up that asks you this question: are you sure? Now, you might have accidentally pushed delete that brought you to that. But if you push yes, that is on you. You brought that to yourself. And I remember there's been, and it can be so frustrating when you're moving files around, if you work with files a lot on the computer, and you're trying to, you know, click and do, and you, maybe you're in a hurry, and you click a file, and you try to move it, and it moves into the wrong one, and now you have all this issue that happens. It's just a frustrating thing. There are some things, let me say, that there are some things that we need to delete, and then we need to finalize the delete. There are some things we need to do that. Like, for example, the way that we speak, the language that we use. Some of us, it could be that our language isn't upright in the eyes of God. I mean, what I mean is there is a perverseness. There's a tongue that wouldn't honor God. Like, well, you know, I was upset. Well, it doesn't matter if we were upset or not. It doesn't justify that we use that kind of language. And so what do we need to do, Pastor? What are you saying? We need to delete that. That kind of language needs to be deleted. It needs to be removed. We need whatever God can do to help us so that we don't speak like that anymore. We just need that. We need to have that in our life. Some of us, our attitude needs to be changed. You know, like that message we did, attitude check. You know, we need our attitude checked. And some of us, our attitude isn't where it needs to be. It manifests itself when we're angry all the time. And we have a critical spirit. If we have a critical spirit and we're angry and we're upset and we're not responding in the way we should, our attitude isn't what it needs to be, then it needs to be deleted. We need to finalize that delete you know, in our life. We also, at times, need to change our influence. I mean, there's influences in our life, and we need to remove those influences. I think that I automatically think of kids, teenagers, young people, because of the friends they have, whether it's at school, the peers. There's such an influence. There's such a, there's such a tendency for young people to allow influences to, you know, guide their decisions in life. And it might be that some of you, there's influence in your life, and that influence needs to be removed. Whether it's a friend or a peer, or sometimes it's a family member. We can't necessarily just like remove family members, but we can put ourselves in a position so that we're not influenced by that family member if that needs to be, if that needs to happen. And so there's a delete that needs to take place sometimes. Sometimes there's a delete that needs to take place on the substances that we take in, whether it's smoking or some kind of a drug use or an abuse in that way, drinking. These things need to be deleted from our life. Yep. God, these are influences in my life. I've allowed these things to be a part of who I am. And so what needs to happen is these things need to be deleted. And then it needs to be finalized. Sometimes our music isn't what it needs to be. So what do we do, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. It needs to be deleted. And the phone can make it convenient so that all you have to do is like literally delete it. And it might be that our music needs to change. And God guides us in that, doesn't He? He convicts us. He speaks to us. And if your music isn't what it needs to be, God will show you. He'll speak to you about it. I mean, your music is not what it needs to be. Now you can ignore the pastor, your parents, or people in your life that are trying to guide you with this. You can ignore God. But I promise you, if you decide to do that, then what's happening to Israel here will be what happens to you. Okay, so there's music that needs to be deleted. You know, sometimes there's gossip that needs to be deleted. Gossip. What's gossip, Pastor? Well, gossip is when you're talking about somebody and you're saying things that, aren't positive things. And you're speaking about somebody in a manner that's not building them up, but you're speaking about them to other people. Gossip needs to be deleted. When we're talking about somebody when they're not around and it's not in a positive or an encouraging way, then we just need to decide we're going to put them in God's hands, which, by the way, that's the best hands they could be in, in God's hands. Well, let's just leave them there. So gossip needs to be deleted. Let me give you another one. This one to me is maybe the top, and that's lust. Lust needs to be deleted. Lustful things in our life, things that contribute to us lusting after. It could be images that you allow yourself to be exposed to. They need to be deleted from your life. It could be relationships, people that, that there's attractions there, and those involvements need to be deleted. When we are letting ourselves get involved with people that we're not married to, and we are letting ourselves lust, or we're presenting ourselves in a way so that others would lust towards us, and we're on the wrong path. We're on the wrong road. And those lustful tendencies need to be deleted. Let me say that we need to be careful how we dress. Why, Pastor? Because sometimes the way somebody dresses is related to what causes somebody else to be lustful. And so lust then goes two ways. The one who's letting himself or herself be attracted to something, and then the one who is putting themselves in a place to be lusted after. And so these need to be deleted. Why am I saying these things? Because Israel had some things they needed to delete. They had erected idols. They had created these idols, and these idols replaced God. And all the time, God is saying, you need to delete these idols from existence. They're distracting you, they are replacing me, and they need to be removed. And God has said that all along. And by the way, he's not just said it in the book of Hosea. He said it all through, all the way up to the beginning, whenever man is erecting and putting things up in the place of God. To the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Israel had done that. They had made idols and they had replaced God. In the previous chapters, Israel had embraced foreign alliances. Why would they have done that? They embraced foreign alliances because they didn't believe that God would deliver them. And so they thought that they would go to these alliances and then these alliances would bring them deliverance. But the problem with both of these things is their idols failed them and their alliances became their enemies. Their chief enemies. As a matter of fact, Hosea is sounding the trumpet of God's judgment, and the ones that are going to come against them and destroy them are the ones that they aligned themselves with. How ironic is that? And that happens in our life too. So that these things that need to be deleted in our lives, and maybe I didn't touch on something, but likely I did on something that needs to be deleted from your life or our life or God is speaking to us about perhaps something that needs to be deleted. And then we align ourselves with those things. They become idols in our lives. And we assume or we think that they'll do something for us. But in the end, what ends up happening, and here's the irony, they're the things that God uses to destroy us. And it's not like God desires to destroy us, but he leaves us to ourselves, and then we lead ourselves to destruction. And then these things become the way in which we're destroyed. And we laugh at it. We scoff at it. And I don't say that we are in a place where we have people laughing and scoffing at the instructions of God. But I'm just saying mankind in general, and perhaps there are some in here who laugh at some of the things that we say need to be deleted. But yet, in the midst of that scoffing and laughing, there's mercy. Let me say it this way. There's grace from God. A warning from God. Why? Because God sent Hosea and said to Hosea, you will set the trumpet to your mouth. This is your job. Look what he said in verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, a trumpet would have been an instrument that would have been used to sound warning. It would have been a ram's horn, and it would have sounded, and it would give warning. And the warning would have been designed to give Israel notice of an invasion. So the trumpet was to say, an invasion is on its way, and we need to prepare ourselves for that invasion. We need to do something so that we're prepared for this coming attack. And so it's a warning, and it's grace. Wrapped up in this warning and grace also is hope. Why? Because there's a chance for escape. There's a chance for repentance and preparation and being ready for this attack, this invasion. Did you know what the trumpet was? God said, set the trumpet to your mouth. Did you know it wasn't a literal trumpet? Do you know this is a metaphor? When God said to Hosea, set the trumpet to your mouth, he was making a metaphor, and the metaphor for the trumpet was the word that was being declared. The book of Hosea. The message that is declared in this word right here, this is the trumpet. This is the man of God sounding the warning. This is the warning. You'll find judgment around the corner, and it's on the way. The enemy is coming. You are being invaded. And so the word is the warning. How amazing is that? You know what's amazing? Even like maybe I could say equally amazing is that God has given that same warning to you and me. That he has given us his word. And the word is the trumpet. The trumpeter, perhaps the man of God who declares the word. And he does it with authority. Why? Because it's God's message to God's people. We talked about, Brother David and I talked about this just earlier. And we declare the message. The message is God's message. The message is a warning. And we would be wise to listen to this warning. We would be wise to listen to this message. Why? Because an invasion is coming. And God wants to make us prepared for that. Right. And so he sent the message, the man of God with the message, and it's going to be trumpeted. You know, I know that I'm kind of speaking to the choir on this, but I think it should be emphasized. The Word of God is what sets us on the right path. It's not the opinions of man. Amen. We don't do what we do because this is what seems right to me. Amen. We don't do what we do because this is what feels right to me. Right. Otherwise, we would follow the whims of our heart and we would have no direction ultimately from God. We would follow God sometimes, and then we would follow a different path other times. Why would we do that? Because it feels right. Well, God's word feels right in this case, so I'll go ahead and do that. But it doesn't feel right in this case, so now I'm going to do this because this to me is what feels right. It doesn't matter what feels right to us. When we read the scripture, it also doesn't matter what it means to us. Well, this is what it means to me, and this is what it means to you. No. What does it mean? What does God say? Because we say and we believe what God said. And that's what we declare. There's not two messages, there's one. What does God want us to do? And we will follow Him. And that is the message that's trumpeted. And that's the message you're wise to believe and embrace. Ooh, get this, please. Don't follow the opinions of man. Don't decide to believe or not believe something because of how you feel about it. Is this what God says? Then I'm going to go with God. Well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. It doesn't matter how it's going to turn out from our perspective and in our opinion. What matters is what does God say, and we're going to follow Him by faith. Why? Because He knows how it's going to turn out. And that's enough for me. He knows how, we said this in Sunday school last Sunday morning, He knows how it all works together. We don't always know that. I think sometimes we think we know that, but we don't. But God does. So we go ahead and believe Him. That's what the trumpet here. The trumpet's the message. The trumpet is the man of God declaring the message. I'm so thankful for it. Look what he said next. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. That's the enemy. This is the Assyrian army, by the way. And by the way, the ones that Israel had aligned themselves and became allies with, the Assyrian army, who are the ones who are going to come against them. That's the irony of this. Look at what it says next. Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. So they went against God. They didn't listen to His word. Now, if the word of God here is the trumpet that gives warning to us and we would be wise to listen to it, then it's sort of like this. If you're in a hotel or if you're in a building or in a place and the fire alarm goes off and you ignore it, then you are being warned so you can escape, but you're ignoring the warning, therefore you'll be destroyed. That's the idea here. So like God warns Israel to listen to the message, God declares to us, I have a message for you. Yeah, it's a message of judgment, but get this, it's a message of hope. It's not just judgment, it's a message of hope. Otherwise, the judgment would just fall and there would be no warning. But this is hope. There's grace here. God's giving us a chance so that we can turn our heart to Him before we're finally judged. Look what he says next in verse 2. This is strange. This is such a strange thing. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Just listen to the wording of that. Israel crying to God. That's not surprising because judgment's coming, that they would cry to God. But their cry is to say, my God. Now, why is that strange? Because they had made idols. And they had said that those idols were their gods, were their God, because it was a calf. And they were saying, this is our God. But now they're saying, but God, you're my God. And so there's kind of a dichotomy there. There's a double-mindedness that's happening, where you have God and mammon, and Israel is saying, maybe not mammon in the sense of money, but God and God, and you're my God. And so what they're saying is we still, hey, God, you're still our God. Protect us. And that's what my God here would mean. And look what it says, we know thee. And so with that, it was just lip service because their actions were not lining up with what they were saying. You know, Israel's giving lip service here, meaning they're saying one thing, but they're doing something else. Did you know we can do that too? Did you know we have a tendency to do that, actually? So that the thing that we say or the thing that we present is not always what we really are. But God knows the difference. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 would indicate, that God cuts to the, His word actually cuts the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows what we really are. So look what it says next. Verse number 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue them. So Israel here has, on one side, they've said, "You're my God, and won't you protect us?" But then on the other side, they've cast off that which is good. They had spurned the goodness of God. He had been good. They had set up, they had made idol. Look, let me just read on. Verse 4, look what it says. They have set up kings, but not by me. So in other words, they set up these authorities, and they weren't following God in this movement. They were doing this. They were doing it without God. Look what it says next. They have made princes, and I knew it not. In other words, they're adding these authorities and they're adding these things to their life, and I'm not the one doing this. Look what it says next in verse 4. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Speaking of the idols, will be cut off, because idols are nothing. But they're taking their silver and they're taking their gold and they're making idols. The idea here is they're replacing God. They're taking authorities and they're taking influences, and they're taking their gold and their silver and they're replacing God. God says in verse number, look what He said in verse 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Look what it says after that. The enemy shall pursue them. What that means is Israel, because of their decision to replace God, they've made themselves vulnerable. Now the enemy is going to come against them and they won't have protection. Why? Because they removed themselves from under the protective umbrella of God. They've decided to do it their way. They've decided to add these things to their life and remove God, and therefore they're now vulnerable. That's what He's saying. Let's go on. Verse number 5. I love this. In that it really describes where the real issue is, and this is where we're going to find our greatest help, right here in verse 5. Here's what God says, "Thy calf, O Israel." Now, let me stop there for a second and just say a word about the calf. What Israel had done is they had created this calf, much like the Exodus chapter 32, verse 4, calf that Aaron created. Remember that one? When Moses was up in Mount Sinai, and they created the calf, and then Aaron said, "This is your God that delivered you from the Egyptians." And then Israel worshipped this calf. They had created a calf in like manner of the one that Israel worshipped in place of God back all the way in Exodus 32. And here's what God says about this calf. He says, verse 5, "O Samaria," or Israel, "hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency?" So Israel created this calf. This calf that they created did not help them in the conflict. It wouldn't be a help to them at all. But what it revealed was that they were in rebellion. You know why that's important to see? Because just a couple of verses before this, they said, "My God, we know thee." And then now God says, "But you made a calf, and your calf didn't help you, and your calf," He's going to say in the next verse, "your calf isn't God." And then God really points it out. He says these words. It's really a question. I had us read it 2 times in our reading. He said, "How long? How long will it be?" He says, "How long will it be ere they attain to innocency?" Do you know what that innocency means? It means they think they're innocent, but they're not. And the real question is, how long are you going to live like that? How long are you going to keep telling yourself you're doing good? How long are you going to keep living in your sins And then living and acting like you're not living in sins at all. My God, I know thee. You see? God says, how long are you going to do that? Like, we live that way and we think God doesn't know about it. But he does. And this is a trumpet that sounds the warning. If you don't give attention to this and listen to what God says, the judgment's coming. Listen, it's like the trumpeter, the messenger, he can see it. The invasion's on its way. I mean, the fire alarm, it's going off. And you need to listen to this. And you need to give attention to what I've been trying to get your attention about. And the gods that you've erected and the things that you've allowed in your life to replace me, it's time to delete them. That's what he's saying. How long until you finally do it? Look what he said next in verse 6. For from Israel was it also. For from Israel. You know what that means? Well, it says it in the next phrase. It says, the workman made it. That means all of these things that they've allowed in their life, and he said kings and princes and idols. He said, Israel did this. He said, the workman made it. The things you're worshiping, they didn't come from God. They came from the world. They came from the work of your own hands. They came from your own ambitions and your own desires. God says they didn't come from me. And as a matter of fact, that's what he says in the next phrase. Look at verse 6 again. He says, therefore, it is not God. So these idols and these things that we've allowed in our life to replace God, God declares through a trumpet sound and a warning, these things are not God. You've made them God, but they're not God. And they will fail you. Because the invasion's coming and they're going to fail you. In other words, you're in big trouble. You better listen to this message. You know, look what he said next, verse 6. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. So they'd removed God, they'd replaced God. Yet, on one side, watch, on one side they said, my God, we know thee. But yet they have these kings, princes, and idols, they just kept them around. They just allowed them to remain. They allowed them to stay. You know, this story, this, you know, episode that we're reading here, it reminds me of Lot in the Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that story? So that God came to Lot and said to him, you need to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You need to get your family. You need to get out of here. Why? Because their sin has come up and judgment is on its way. And I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you need to get out of here. And if you don't get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you're going to be destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah. So God brings this message of hope. The judgment was coming. The trumpeter is sounding the message of warning. And Lot has now a chance. He can escape. He can get out of there. But he rejects the message so much. So that finally the messenger of God almost like grips Lot and says, you get out of here. This city is going to be destroyed. So he took his wife and he took his daughters and now we're leaving. But listen to what God said to Lot. You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis, listen to what God said in 19:17. Escape for thy life. And then he said this, look not behind thee. Is that familiar? Yes, sir. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And as it should, that phrase, look not behind thee, sticks in our mind, doesn't it? In Genesis 19, it sticks in our mind. Look not behind thee. So the idea is you need to leave this place of sin and you need to move forward and you need to not look back. Don't look back. And so as God is working in our life, He's, God willing, He's speaking to us about things that we've allowed into our life that has replaced God. And to open our message, we just gave a few shotgun things that it could be in our life that needs to be deleted. And it might be that God will speak to us about those things. But it's not just those things that God speaks to us about. And so what's he leading us to do? He's the trumpeter, the message is being declared, the warning has come that you need to leave. You need to watch, you need to remove these things. You need to delete these things. And when you move forward, you need to finalize the delete. What's that mean? Don't look back. I'm going to get these, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to get these things out. These things are not what God wants. God, these things aren't of God. And we're going, these things have replaced God. And we're going to get these things away. We're going to get these things out. We're going to move on. We're going to move forward. And we're going to not look back. It's as though we could say, I'm done with you, sin. And that's what we do, I think, sometimes. When we're at church and God speaks to us, which, by the way, He speaks to us when we're at church. Like, He speaks to us and it's personal. Like, I don't know what God's speaking to you about. I know what He speaks to me about. And so I get convicted about things. And with that conviction, meaning I know what God is speaking to me about and what I know He wants me, for example, tonight, to delete in my life. Now, I know what He wants me to delete. So if I'm going to be obedient and by the way, wise, then I would listen to the warning and I would let that conviction strike to my heart. And then I would make a decision with wisdom to say, in obedience, God, I'm going to delete what you want me to delete. So I'm going to come to this altar right here, or I'm going to make an altar out of my seat where I am, depending on your physical condition, if you're able to kneel or not. But wherever you are, you'll make an altar and you'll kneel and you'll say, God, I'm done with this sin. I'm done with this in my life. I'm going to go home and I'm going to delete it. And I'm going to do it tonight. And I say amen to that. If you decide to do that, you're wise. You're a wise young man, wise young lady, wise old people. Wherever we are, or in between. You're wise. Because it's God speaking to you. It's not the man of God. The man of God's the trumpeter. The message is God's. The message is a warning, but it's a hope and a message of grace and mercy from God giving you a chance. Because invasion's coming. You can ignore it, but you'll regret that. And so what do? We're convicted. We're touched. And we, if we're wise, we're obeying. And our statement of obedience is simple. God, I'm done with this sin. But sometimes there's a comma past that statement I just made. You ready for this? We make the statement right here, God, I'm done with this sin. That's like when we said delete. But then there's another, you know, icon that pops up. And the question on that second icon is this. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Who do you think that voice is? You say, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm done with this sin. I'm pushing delete. And then you're on your way back to your seat. You hear this. Are you sure about that? You sure you want to do that? And there's something in us that maybe struggles with going ahead and moving forward with what we know God wants us to do. So we know, God, I know what you want me to do. And maybe even we go home and we push delete. And we think, I'm done with it. But then like a couple of days later, you know, Apple phones and iPhones and smartphones, they just make it so easy. All you got to do is go back to the App Store and you can reinstall it. You know, did you forget your password? No, I remember my password. I'll just reinstall it right back on there. And we kind of do that, don't we? Where God moves in us and we know what He wants us to do. He's guiding us. He's warning us about where this thing is going to take us because we've replaced Him. And we want to delete it maybe, but sometimes we just don't finalize the delete. That's where Israel is right here. Because there's two things happening. In verse number 2, they said, my God, we know thee. And you're our God, and we have covenant with you, and we have the Old Testament and Levitical law, and a relationship established for centuries, and you're our God. But then God says, but hang on, you've made other gods. And your other gods are going to fail you, and you need to delete them. And God says, how long? How long? I think we can ask that about us tonight. How long? That's a good question, isn't it? You might ask tonight, what is it that God wants me to do? Look at verse 6, the last part. But the calf of Samaria shall be, see that phrase, broken in pieces? It literally means to grind it up. That's what it means, to grind it up so that it's destroyed once and for all. It's destroyed. It's ground up. Some of us need to do that. Some of us need to listen to the Lord's leadership, and we need to decide to delete some things. And then we need to finalize the delete. God's warning us. He's guiding us. We're convicted about it. You say, Pastor, I want to do that. But it feels like I keep coming back to it, you know? The Bible says, put off the old man, put on the new man. You know, it could be there's a principle that God wants to work in you so that when you put off, at the same time you put on. So we put off the thing that God is convicting us about, and then we put on the direction and walk with God that will strengthen us to maintain and stay on the path He's guiding us to. It might be that you need accountability. It might be that you need to set up some passwords and talk to some people about some things and get some accountability in place. I need to delete some things. I need some accountability with this. I don't want to go back to it. There's some things I know God wants me to change, and I know if I'm going to maintain that, if I'm going to stay away and I'm going to stay on the path that God wants me to be on, then I'm not just going to need accountability. I'm going to need a strong walk with God. By the way, that's the key to it all, isn't it? Amen. Walking with God. Otherwise, we'll be like Lot's wife, who was walking away from destruction and looked back. And the Bible says she was made a pillar of salt. Let me have you turn to a scripture and we'll be done. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 13. For there say, amen. Amen. Okay, let's look at it. Solomon says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to delete things, sure. He wants us to have accountability. He wants us to set ourselves up for strength to move forward with grace by having a close walk with God. He wants us to not go by her way. Go not in the way of evil men. In the first part of verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. So we need to get these things out of our life. And then we need to stop telling ourselves we can just have a little bit of it. I can just have some of this. And you know what? We convince ourselves it's not that bad. It's really pretty good if you don't let it take control. Yet God has spoken to us about it. He's made it clear He wants us to delete these things. He wants us to finalize the delete because they have taken His place. They've removed us from where we need to be along the way. But yet we tell ourselves, and we look back. And then we're right back into it again, you know? I remember when I was a teenager in high school that I listened to music that was just wrong. It was wrong music. It was worldly music. And the preacher would preach about it, but I didn't listen. And it was always the same to me. you know, it wasn't a big deal. And I wasn't, and by the way, I wasn't surrendered to God. And ultimately, that's where my issue was. It wasn't with the man of God or the pastor or the standards of the church. Well, you know, it's the church because there's oppression, whatever, because we have these rules. But if we had another church and they don't have those rules, it has nothing to do with the rules of one church or another church or how the pastor is. It's the work of God. And our fight is not with a man or a ministry. Our fight is with Him. And He speaks to us, and He speaks to you, and He was speaking to me about that music, and I was really under conviction about it. And I remembered I was on my way to church. It was a Wednesday night. I was in my car, and I didn't have any of my brothers with me, and I was just driving to church, and I was listening to my music, and a very familiar and popular song came on the radio. And it was one I'd listened to many times because it was one of the hits of the moment. And it struck me and it hit me with deep conviction that I need to delete this from my life. And I remember I was about halfway to church, Brother Dave, I was about halfway. And I turned it off. And I talked to the Lord about it. And I never turned it back on. Never turned it back on. And God uses those things to strengthen us and grow us and use us. His blessings are on us. And all the message is a warning. All the message is for you is a warning. Listen, it's not just about music. It's about things that God is working in our hearts about to delete and then finalize the delete. And let God do that in you. Let me ask you two questions. Have you been struggling to delete and then finalize the delete so that you keep reinstalling it back into your life? Let me ask one more question. Have you been struggling on a roller coaster in your spiritual life? Let me encourage you to seek the Lord tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for your message. And we think about the man of God, Hosea, who was the divine messenger trumpeting the message. And I thank you for him and for his steadfastness in delivering the message. Lord, I thank you for how you are faithful to speak to our hearts about sins or things in our life that we've allowed in there. We create or we allow them to take precedence in our life and our heart. And then you speak to us. You guide us to delete these things, to remove these things, to finalize that and not to look back. And it might be that you've worked in someone's heart tonight. I trust that you have. And I pray you'd help us to repent, to turn ourselves back to you. So that, Lord, we would find your hand, that we would find ourselves in your hand of blessing and protection and grace. Guide us in that way, Lord. Give us strength and wisdom to obey. Help us to put off the old man, put on the new man, but all walking in the Spirit, trusting that you know what's best, despite what our flesh says. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart, you come to the altar and you do business with Him.